I'm Tricia Childers, and welcome to the Home on Purpose podcast. So tell me if something like this has ever happened to you before. There's a certain category of stuff in your home, or maybe a specific storage space that's been really bugging you. And you've been telling yourself, one of these days, I've really got to just clear that space out and get rid of the clutter. And you've been putting it off and putting it off until you finally get so annoyed that you just force yourself to get it done. And then something goes wrong. Maybe you spend a whole lot of time bringing things out and reorganizing them, but you find it so hard to decide what should stay and what should go that you end up keeping most of it. And so it felt like this big waste of time. Maybe you get all psyched up to declutter and you get rid of a bunch of stuff, and then you instantly regret a lot of those decisions. Or you may have had the very discouraging experience of opening that closet, staring at all of this stuff, thinking about how much work it would be, and then saying, never mind, I'll do it some other time. My guess is that at least one of those scenarios sounds familiar, if not all of them. These experiences can be so discouraging because it feels as if the project shouldn't be that hard. You know, we see one closet or one shelf with one category of stuff and we think, yeah, I should be able to do that. And then we don't understand why it's such a struggle to follow through and make the decisions. Well, as it turns out, there's actually a very simple explanation for this. There are two types of clutter. Each type of clutter operates in a completely different way, and that means the decision-making process for one type is totally different than the other. So when we try to tackle both types of clutter at the same time, it's basically like trying to do two projects in one, and that's why the whole process gets muddled and confusing and difficult. Well, my job is to make your life at home easier. And decluttering is so much easier if you split the project into two phases, working through one type of clutter and then the other. So in this podcast episode, I am going to first describe the two different types of clutter and then walk you through what it looks like to split the project into phases. Now, since I recently worked with a client who was very frustrated with her kitchen, especially all of the different tools and gadgets and appliances she had accumulated, I'm going to go ahead and use that as a running example. But of course, you can take these same ideas and apply them to any category of stuff in your home. So are you ready? Here we go. The first type of clutter is what I call obvious clutter. Obvious clutter are the items in your home that serve absolutely no purpose and have no chance of ever serving a purpose in the future. An example from my client's kitchen was her garlic crusher. It wasn't broken or anything like that. It was fairly new. It worked perfectly fine, but she just never used it. She bought it originally because freshly crushed garlic definitely tastes better than the kind in a jar. Right? And she used it a couple of times, but then she realized that this particular one was kind of a pain in the neck to clean. And after using it two or three times, she just stopped using it. Whenever she needed garlic, she would look at it and say, yeah, that would taste better, but meh, it's not worth the hassle. I'll just use the store-bought stuff. Now, there's nothing wrong with that garlic crusher, and somebody else might consider it an absolute necessity, but in her kitchen, it wasn't serving a purpose. And if she had kept it, it would just sit in the drawer taking up space. So that garlic crusher for her was obviously clutter. That's an easy decision. Now, just to be clear, I don't mean that getting rid of the gadget is automatically easy. Decluttering usually makes most people feel uncomfortable. We don't like the feeling of giving something away that we paid money for, or we don't like the feeling of having to recognize that purchasing something was a mistake, or maybe it was a gift and you kind of feel guilty about getting rid of it and things like that. So when I say the decision is easy, what I mean is it is easy to recognize that that particular item serves no purpose. It is obviously clutter. Now, there were other gadgets in her kitchen that weren't so obvious. As we continued to go through that drawer, we came across the pizza cutter. That one turned out to be trickier. See, she and her family liked to make homemade pizza maybe like 3 times a year. And when they did, using that fancy rolling pizza cutter is helpful. The kids like it. It makes it more fun to see what it looks like, just like in the commercials, right? We're using our own little pizza roller. But for the other 332 days of the year, that roller just sat in the drawer. And if she did get rid of it, it's not like they couldn't make homemade pizza anymore. They would just have to use a regular knife instead. So now she had to stop and wonder, okay, is that pizza roller clutter or not? It's adding some value to her kitchen life, but was it adding enough value to merit keeping? And that's the difference right there. If you have to ask yourself those kinds of questions, then that item is not obviously clutter. It is what I call possible clutter. She might have decided that it's not worth keeping and got rid of it. Or she might have decided that, hey, it's not taking up too much space and it's fine to keep it. She might even end up more motivated to make homemade pizza more often so that you could get more use out of it. Now, any one of those choices are just fine, but she had to think it through and make the decision on purpose. So the point today is to notice how the decision-making process for possible clutter is very different than the process for the obvious clutter. Clearing away the obvious clutter, like the useless garlic crusher, is one project. Making thoughtful decisions about the possible clutter, like the pizza roller, is another project altogether. We use different reasoning to make these decisions, and there are different emotional factors that come into play. That's why trying to do both projects at the same time only muddies the waters and it makes things confusing. You're asking your brain to bounce back and forth between obvious, possible, and that is taxing. On the other hand, if we visualize the project as two separate phases, working through each type of clutter one at a time, the whole thing becomes so much easier. So let's go back to that kitchen drawer and imagine how it would look to declutter that collection of gadgets the easier way. So the first thing that you always do would be to empty the drawer completely. So you clear a space on your kitchen counter and you spread everything out so you can see it all clearly. This one simple act is actually quite powerful. It forces you to commit to really thinking about every single item. Plus, when you see that empty drawer and you have that chance to wipe it beautifully clean, it strengthens your desire to take good care of that space and treat it better. Okay, so all of your stuff is spread out on the counter. Now you're ready for the first phase of decluttering. Scan for the obvious clutter only. These are the fast, easy decisions. Garlic crusher, gone. Oh, that wooden spoon is cracked, gone. Anything that obviously serves no purpose and won't serve a valid purpose in the future, just ditch it. Now, if you come across something that makes you pause and ask, oh, is this clutter? I'm not sure. Well, then that's not obvious clutter. It's possible clutter, but that's not what you're working on right now. So you put it back down and you move on. Once you've deleted all of the obvious clutter, then I like to put all of the definite keepers back in the drawer. Well, we need the can opener for sure. Yeah, we use those tongs all the time. Oh, we're definitely keeping these spatulas and so on. Again, if I see something I'm not quite sure about, like the pizza roller, I just slide it to one side. So by the end of that phase, the obvious clutter is gone and the definite keepers are back in the drawer. The only items that are still out on your counter are the possible clutter. At that point, I would encourage you to pause and acknowledge the accomplishment. Look at that pile of junk that you have deleted. Look at your clean and organized gadget drawer, which is now filled only with incredibly useful tools, and smile at that progress. And if you want to, you can take a break and come back when you're ready for the second phase, which is to go through all of the possible clutter. This is when you look at all of the gadgets that are still out on the counter, one at a time, and evaluate realistically whether it brings enough value to your life to merit keeping. Now, those decisions will be affected by how much space you have left in the gadget drawer. So if after ditching the obvious clutter and keeping the definite keepers, the drawer is already almost full, you will have to be very selective about which extra gadgets you're going to spend that precious space on. So you'll compare the usefulness of that pizza roller to the usefulness of the other possible clutter items and really think about which ones are most worth saving. Now, on the other hand, there might be plenty of space left in that drawer. And hey, maybe you only have to delete, I don't know, two or three of the least useful gadgets, and then you won't have to agonize so much over all these other decisions. Either way, you will be glad that you waited for that clarity. By dealing with the obvious clutter first and putting the definite keepers back in the drawer before deciding on the possible clutter, those decisions become easier. Now, as I mentioned before, I've just been using kitchen gadgets as an example, but the same principle holds true no matter what category of stuff you are decluttering. Our family recently moved, and I did this same two-phase process with every single category of stuff that we owned. When I went through my daughter's closet, for example, we first got rid of the obvious clutter. That would be the clothes and shoes that were too small or too worn out. And then we looked at the clothes that she hadn't worn in a while and asked, "Are you really planning to wear this again or not?" When I went through our bathroom, the obvious clutter was stuff like, oh, medicine that had expired a long time ago, or hairbands that had stretched out and lost their shape. And the possible clutter were things like my least favorite lipstick shades and nail polish that I hadn't used in a long time. So regardless of the category of stuff, recognizing the two types of clutter and working them through one at a time always made the process easier. So the next time you're looking at one of your drawers or a cabinet or a closet or an entire room and you're thinking to yourself, ugh, I think we have too much junk, follow this process. Clear everything out of the space and spread out all the items. Scan for obvious clutter first and ditch it right away. Put the definite keepers back in the storage space in a nicely organized way, then slowly work through the possible clutter, making thoughtful decisions based on how much space you have left to spend. Now, before I wrap up, I do need to make one last very important clarification. Although decluttering is definitely a good thing to do, and it certainly helps to unclog your spaces, it never solves the clutter problem completely. If you really want a long-term solution to the clutter problem, you've also got to think about where that clutter came from in the first place. Because if you don't address the issue at its source, well, you'll eventually end up right back where you started. And then you'll be stuck in an annoying cycle of acquiring stuff, then deleting stuff, and then acquiring more stuff and deleting more stuff. To truly enjoy the freedom of a functional home, you have got to break that cycle. So I've written an article on this topic called Decluttering is Only Half of the Solution, and it offers some simple but very effective strategies for how to block new clutter from entering your home in the first place. It even includes a free template to help you get started. If you're interested in exploring that topic more, I've included a link to the article just below this audio file. Well, I hope this episode has been encouraging and has motivated you to be even more intentional with your stuff and your spaces. Until next time, thank you so much for joining me here on the Home on Purpose podcast.